Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody. This is A Sinner Saved by Grace with Martez. This is the debut episode, or whatever you want to call it. But this is not so much a show. This is really a time for me or whoever to use this platform to give God some glory and put the spotlight on the Lord. Simple as that. And the reason this title, A Sinner Saved by Grace, is because that's exactly what I am. I'm a sinner, a filthy man. I'm not a perfect man. I'm a man that made mistakes. I'm a man that didn't always do the right thing, even though I always had a pretty good heart. But, you know, we still make mistakes. And that's why I consider myself truly to be a sinner saved by grace. And this is right up my alley, you know, because I love nothing more than talking about the Lord and talking about the things of the Lord and breaking down his scriptures and reading the Bible. Don't get me wrong. I don't know everything about the Bible. Let's not get it twisted. I don't know everything about the Bible, even though I've been in the ministry for a very, very, very long time. I still don't know everything. But that's okay. I believe that's okay. But I'm going to talk about the things that I do know about, and I'm going to get into a particular text and a particular scripture that I'm pretty sure we all are familiar with, whether you are a Christian or not, whether you are a believer or not. I mean, you probably heard Psalms 23 numerous times, whether it's been in movies, whether it's been in church, whether it's been somebody a super Christian talking about it, a Bible thumper talking about it. You've heard it somewhere down on the road. Or your life, or in the road of your life, excuse me. So we're going to get into that today without a doubt. That's the most important thing, is to get into that. But let me pray before we get started. God, we pause and we say thank you, Lord. We thank you for just giving us the ability to talk about your word. We thank you for giving us the ability to talk. We thank you for giving us the ability to do the things that we take for granted sometimes, like seeing, like hearing, eating, like tasting, like walking. We thank you for all that. Many of us, we have different roads. We have different paths. We have different beliefs, Lord. But at the end of the day, you know what's real, and you are the only real God based on my belief, Lord. So this is a time to declare that you are here, that you are available, that you are in control, in spite of what's going on in this terrible world. It was all planned. It was all supposed to happen this way. Based on what I know from you. So I just give you the glory, Lord. It may not feel good right now. It may not feel delightful to live in this world. It might not be easy to live in this world. But I know you have all the answers. I know you have everything in control. And we just trust in you, Lord. Those that believe in you, we just trust in you. Those that don't believe in you, I hope they can figure it out. Hopefully they can come to a point in their life where they can trust you, and if they don't, then that's a decision that they made, and we just keep it moving. So God, I want to pray for those that are lost, Lord. I want to pray for those that are hurting right now. I want to pray for those that are stressed. I want to pray for those that are suffering, those that can't get over the hump in their life, Lord. Those that feel abused, those that feel misused, those that feel depressed or stressed out, or dealing with anxiety, or dealing with so many different factors, or dealing with addictions. Lord, we want to pray for those people right now, pray that they might hear or feel something from this word today, that this word might help them out, that this word might do something special within them, Lord, that they might be able to tell somebody else about it and present it a better way than I presented it. So God, we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Everybody, we want to get into Psalms 23, so if you have your Bibles with you, please open up the book of Psalms, Psalms 23, and if you don't have your Bible, It's all good. Just hear me out. And as I begin to break down this scripture, begin to break down this text, you know, this is a revelation that I've gained from studying this text. You know, we all going to receive different things from reading the Bible. We all interpret it differently. But I'm going to share with you what I interpret from this. So Psalms 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." First two things we realize that in this life, in this walk, in this journey that we live as Christians, that we must recognize that the Lord is our shepherd, which means the Lord, he's our leader. He's our great head. He's our conductor. He's who we follow. The Lord. He's our king. That's who we answer to. The Lord is our shepherd. And because he's our shepherd, we should not want. As the word says, I shall not want. Think about this. We have the Lord as our shepherd. Think about who is the Lord that created this world, the Lord that sits in heaven and watches all over us, the Lord that protects us, the Lord that provides for us. Even when we don't realize that he's providing for us, he's providing for us. That's who our shepherd is, the Lord that wakes us up every day, the Lord that gives us the ability to see, give us the ability to talk and to eat. You know, the Lord that created these vessels, the Lord that created this body, that's our shepherd. And there's not a greater person, a greater being that could be our shepherd than the one that created us. And for that reason, we shall not want for anything. We shall not want for anything. You know, we may be going through some things in our life. We may be in a situation where we are lacking. We may be in a situation where we are empty. We are on E in our life, or for whatever reason. But that doesn't mean you still have to want for anything, because, you know, all we have to do is call on the Lord, who is our shepherd. Call on the Lord, and I guarantee you he's going to come see about you. I guarantee you that he's going to come hook you up. I guarantee you that he is going to get you together. Now, it might not always be the way you want it. Now, let me just say that. It might not always be the way you want it, but however, the Lord, he will still give you what he feel you need. You know, so many times I didn't ask God for something, and he gave me something totally different than what I wanted. And sometimes the things that he gives me I don't want, but I know he know I need it. That's the funny thing about it. You know, we're not going to always like what he gives us. It's for our good. It is for our good. So again, the creator of this world, he is our shepherd, and we should never want for anything if you are a believer. Verse 2, it says, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He making me lie down in green pastures. And my interpretation on this is different. It's different than most. My interpretation on this is God relaxing us. This is God telling us to calm down. This is God putting us to rest, putting our worries to rest, putting our stress to rest. Because he understands that we are going to go through things in life. He understands that we're going to go through trials and tribulations, but sometimes he will make us lie down in green pastures. And if we know anything about green pastures is a special place to be. Green pastures, when I think about green pastures, I think about elevation. I think about a place where you don't have to worry, a place where you don't have to stress out, a place where is much, 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 much better than where you came from. And that's when I think about green pastures. We all want to get the green pastures. in life. We all want to get somewhere different. And in this particular text, in this particular scripture, God just decided that he will make you lie down in green pastures, just so you will know that God has your back, just so you will know that God can take you to a higher place. And he also says, he leads me beside the still waters. In verse 3 goes on to say, he restored my soul. Now, I think that's rich in itself. He restored my soul, meaning that I don't care what nobody say. Each and every day, I feel like your soul need to be restored. Your soul need to be renewed. Because we living in this world, and sometimes we can miss the mark. Sometimes we can forget who's our source. Sometimes we can forget who's our conductor, who's our strength. And I know, I'm telling you this from experience, God, he will restore your soul. Number one, because we have so many fleshly spirits on us, whether we put it on ourselves or other people put it on us, that God, he has to restore our soul. And God is letting you know through this text that he will restore your soul. He will make you whole again. Think about restoration. Restoration is putting things back together, restoring things that was once there. Think about that. And God will absolutely do that for you, without a doubt. And this verse 3 goes on to say, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I mean, this is so plain right there. God will lead you through that path of righteousness for his name's sake. Number one, righteousness is God. Righteousness is the Lord. Therefore, God will, if you will allow him and if you believe in him, he will lead you through righteousness. You can live a righteous life because of him. And when I teach, I may teach from a kindergartner perspective or a first grader perspective, because sometimes the word of God is just plain. You know, it don't need all these bells and whistles. You know, a lot of people want to give you all these bells and whistles just to give you the word of God, and it's right there. It's absolutely simple. He said, I will leave you. I will lead. God, he will lead you. You who's ever listening, he will lead you in the path of righteousness. See, God is in control. He can lead you in so many different areas. He can lead you in the path of darkness. He can lead you in the path of despair. He can lead you in the path of anguish. He can lead you in the path of hurting. He can lead you in the path of destruction. He can lead you in the path of evil. But he said, I will lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. At the end of the day, it all boils down to this. It's all about God. It's all about God at the end of the day. And whatever God does for you, it's all done for him to get the glory. Make no mistake about it. It's all done. It's all done for him to get the glory. So know that God will lead you in the path of righteousness for your sake, namesake. So his namesake. So far, this is a text. This is a scripture of affirmation. God is affirming what he will do for you. Verse 4, one of the scriptures that we probably all know about, verses that we all know about. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. So, make no mistake about it. Even though you're walking through a valley of the shadow of death, even though you're walking through a valley where you're in a place of nothingness, even though you're walking through the valley in a place of emptiness, even though you're walking through the valley of a place where it seems like there's no growth, It seems like nothing's happening right for you. Even though you're going through trials and tribulations, even though your life doesn't seem like it's going right at the moment, you should never fear no evil. Now, even though you may be getting attacked on the left and attacked on the right, even though it may seem like darts are coming your way, even though it seems like nothing never works for you, nothing never goes your way, you should still never fear no evil, because it's evil's job to distract you. It's evil's job to keep you off your square. It's evil's job to keep you off your post, okay? So God is saying this. Even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you should never fear no evil, because, once again, the Lord is your shepherd. And God is not going to take you through nothing that will hurt you. Contrary to what people believe, you know, even though we go through moments in our life where we are in pain and we are sad and we're stressed out and we're hurting, I don't think it's God's intent to keep you in that state of hurting. I think there's a greater plan. You know, I think there's a greater agenda with God. Even through your stress, even through your pain, I think there's a greater plan that God has in store for you and for me. And verse 4 continues to read, "For thou art with me." Again, God is with you, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances. "Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me." I'm enjoying this scripture so much, because this is one of the greatest confirmations, one of the greatest affirmations that you can ever know, that God is your rod and he's your staff and he comforts you. People, God wants us to realize, especially now during whatever's going on in this world, that if you believe in him, he will comfort you. He will be there for you. This is the best time to ignite and elevate your relationship with God. It's the best time to do that. Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And this is what's so cool about God. He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So those people that talk bad about you, those people that trashed your name, those people that threw darts at you, those people that said you wouldn't do this, said you wouldn't amount to this, those people that made things hard for you on purpose, God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So your enemies will be at that table and watch God's glory on you. Watch. Your enemies will be at that table just to watch what God did for you, just to watch how elevated you are, just to watch how blessed you are for choosing the Lord. So all those times people did things that wasn't right to you, who's ever listening, eventually God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You got to believe that. I've seen it done before. It might not happen when you want it to happen, but God will allow you to get the glory right in front of your enemy's face, just so your enemy will know that they should have never came up against you. They should have never tried to destroy your name or tried to throw darts at you. God will do that, and I've seen him do that before. And I believe that he will continue to do that again for those that believe. Verse 5 continues on by saying, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." God will anoint your head with oil, that holy oil. God will, you know, This is a text that's also showing the love that God has for those that believe in him. It's almost like you're a kid and it's snowing outside, but you got to walk to school. You got to walk to school. Your mom or your dad don't feel like taking you to school. And it's like, let's say it's about 15 degrees outside, super cold. And you want to know, you all going to make me walk to school in this cold like this? You all going to make me walk in this cold to school? It's snowing outside and it's super cold. You're going to make me walk to school? But check this out. To use this analogy, this is how God works. Your parents, if you got a good parent, they will make sure you are equipped. Just like God will anoint your head with oil, your parent, if you got a good parent, they will make sure you're equipped and prepared to walk to school in spite of the 15 degree weather, the snowing that's going on outside, and the winds that are blowing out of this world. If you got a good parent, they will make sure you got a scarf. They will make sure you have a hat that's comfortable. They will make sure you have a coat on that will keep you warm. They make sure you have gloves. Make sure you have all the necessary equipment that you need to handle the 15-degree weather, the wind, and the snowing. And this is what God is doing. God will anoint my hair with oil. That's basically what this is. God will equip you. God will equip you for the things of the world. God will always anoint you if you are a believer to prepare you and keep you equipped for what the world has for you. So you need to always know that God will give you the necessary equipment to walk through this world. In verse 6, finally, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now we get it. This last scripture, now we get it. We know now that goodness and mercy will always follow us all the days of our life, and the right thing to do is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, based on what this scripture says. But we know that there's going to be a lot of goodness that come our way because we serve the Lord. We know we're going to have to receive mercy sometimes because we serve the Lord, because we're not going to always make the right decisions, so we're going to have to receive his mercy. But we know the right thing to do is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because we know that God has our back no matter what, no matter the situations, he has our back. So it don't take long for me to teach. It don't take long for me to break down things the way the Holy Spirit has me interpreting it. Everybody's different. Everybody teach different. Some people will like the way you teach. Some people won't like the way you teach, but it's all good. At the end of the day, it's my job to deliver God's word to the people. And it's up to you to receive it or not. You don't have to, but I just got to do my job. And I wanted to share that with you today, Psalms 23. And I always encourage you to go back and read it for yourself. Don't just go off of what I said. Go back and read it for yourself. You find revelation from reading it. You find your own interpretation on the text when you read it. And at the end of the day, folks, I can't speak for you, but I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not perfect, but I'm always trying to learn, because I'm one day away from falling back, from backsliding. That's real talk, you know. But let us end this study for today. Let's close out with prayer. Lord, you heard the study. You heard the text. You heard the scriptures taught for today, Lord. Well, we ask that you bless it, Lord. We ask that those that were able to listen, that they may have gotten something from it, Lord. And Lord, I pray that I was able to teach the way you want me to teach, the way that's presentable to you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you cover this world, cover everybody in it, Lord, whether they are servants to you or not, Lord. Just cover them, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you be with us, Lord God. We ask that you be that fence around us every day, Lord. And Lord, we ask that a soul might be saved today, Lord. Even if it's just one soul, that one soul may come to you, one soul may bow down to you and say that you are Lord. And God, we say thank you, and I love you, Lord. And I believe we all love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody, this is and this was A Sinner Saved by Grace. We're going to be coming to you with more studies, with more dialogue on the Lord and things of the Lord as we live in these last evil days. But keep us in mind. This is the platform known as Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Don't forget to listen to a few other shows that's on this platform, a few other great shows. We got a lot of great shows, so many shows for me to name right now, but they're coming your way this week. Take care, everybody. Be safe, and take care.